describe what Jesus did for us, right, on the cross. Words like redeem, atone, ransom, purchased. He paid it all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. It's all, and we saw that because sin is so costly. Sin is also used in those terms. The wages of sin is death. Well, what were the three things that Jesus promised over and over? He said, he prophesied, he foretold what three things would happen to him. One was he would suffer many things. Did he?
Yes.
Check. Two, would he be that he would be crucified? Was he?
Yes.
Check. And then the third thing that took a few days, kind of like a, you know, closing date. You got to wait for the closing date on that transaction. He said in 3 days he would be raised to life. Was he?
Yes. Amen.
Can we say that louder? Yes, he was. Can we say redeemed? Redeemed. We were redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, paid in full. The whole thing was done. No loose ends, no contingencies. His payment was approved, and that was the idea that the Father God had to raise him from the dead, and that's the approval stamp, the stamp of approval on his offering, his sacrifice. God even sent two of his winged lawyers to give that stamp of approval in the empty tomb. So what are you doing here? Why do you seek the living among the dead? He said, he's alive, he's not dead, and bam, payment accepted. So, and the women did the, wait, what thing? You know, what? So, I couldn't help but notice a few verses here, a few words in these verses that they read out of Luke 24. Verse 4 says they were perplexed. Verse 11 says the women's words to the men appeared as nonsense. See, some things never change. Then there is verse 12, Peter went away marveling at what happened. And then verse 22, so marveling. Verse 22, the women amazed us. Again, some things never change, right? Verse 37 says they were startled and frightened. So words perplexed, nonsense, marveling, amazed, startled, and perplexed, or frightened. These words are forever associated with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because it was boom, unprecedented, hard to explain, hard to take in. So last week, my wife went to South Dakota. Her mother, my mother-in-law, passed away around Christmas, New Year time. And I got to tell you a story that she heard while she was there last week. Her brother Colin married Mary Beth. So Colin and Mary Beth run the ranch there the family ranch many generations. And they have a gravel road that goes up and out of the ranch. You can see it for a long ways, then it turns a corner and heads out about a mile to the highway. And so it's a long gravel road you can see for a long ways. And well, Mary Beth was one day happened to see the four-wheeler, and they have 1,000 head of cattle. It's a big 3,600 acre. It's a big operation, lots of expanse you can see for a long way. She could see the four-wheeler on the side of the road, kind of on the shoulder, and she had somehow she knew it was idling. It was still running. And she said, "Oh, Colin must be doing something," and she thought nothing of it. And about 15 minutes later, came back to a different part of the house and looks out, and that four-wheeler is still there, and she sees her husband face down in the gravel road, sprawled out, just face down, and the four-wheeler is still sitting there. And she was gripped with trauma. And they have an 18-year-old son who is a high school senior graduating this year. And all this is going through her mind that, Miles, go check on your... And then she's like, I can't tell my son to go check on... I have to do this. I have to do this. I have to go see. I got to check on him. And so she gets in the vehicle and she's just trembling with fear and dread. And she, as she's pulling up, because this is quite a ways away, as she's pulling up to his body laying face down on the gravel road. His head pops up, and he looks at her, sits up. He saw some cool leaves with the frost, and he was laying on the ground photographing, getting a cool close-up of the flowers and the ditch weed. Then she wanted to kill him, but no. But what she thought she saw wasn't what she thought. What she thought she saw wasn't what she thought. The two dejected, sad disciples that were walking, that Jesus joined up with on their walk, were also perplexed. They were perplexed. And verse 21 says, "But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel." They were very disappointed. And indeed, besides all this, it is the third day since these things happened. What they thought they saw wasn't what they thought. They thought he died. They saw him die. It's over. Their hopes are dashed. They were depressed, dejected, sad. Did Jesus redeem Israel? Yeah, he did, but not the way they thought he would. Rome was still in charge. They were still under Roman rule. There was no new king. Pilate was still on his throne. But this is a key truth to embrace deep down in your heart. And this is the main thing I want you to walk away with today. God is good even when it looks like he's not. God is good even when it looks like he's not. If you could hug that truth like a security blanket, you're going to have a lot of peace and joy that will carry you like high tide in shallow waters. You are going to avoid hitting a lot of things if you hold on to, or being hit by a lot of things, if you hold on to this truth. God is good even when it looks like he's not. And that's why faith is so honoring to God. That's why faith so pleases God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Because there's going to be lots of opportunities where it looks bad, but it's not. So would you like to get better at living in the faith realm? Even when it's a Saturday, meaning it's after Friday, but it's before Sunday. Yeah. It's after the bad news comes, but it's before you really understand why it's really good news. So that's how a lot of our life is. We're in that Saturday realm where we need faith. Yeah. We need faith to trust that God is good even when it looks like he's not. Because that's the message of the resurrection. So Jesus explained how to do that, how to walk in that faith realm to these two sad disciples. And the same goes for us today. And I just want to lay that out quickly. Jesus said to them in Luke 24, 25, says, "O foolish men and slow of heart to believe." In other words, slow to have faith, slow to apply faith. "In all that the prophets have spoken, was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory?" And then it says, "Then beginning," and this is so important, "then beginning with Moses and with all the prophets," meaning Genesis to Malachi, in other words, the whole Old Testament. And he went through the whole Old Testament. "He explained to them the things concerning himself in all the," what? "In all the scriptures." In all the scriptures. That's a different version of the Bible that just came out. I just made it yesterday. "Concerning himself in all the scriptures." There's the Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and all. So, later it says, Jesus opened their eyes. Amen. To understand what? Al. He opened their eyes to understand the scriptures.
Amen.
There was a lot happening this weekend. It was a big weekend. If you want to grow in your faith, get to know the scriptures.
Amen.
That's the point. Not Al. Al needs to get to know the scriptures too. Because the message of the resurrection is so wonderful and multifaceted, you can only discover the depths of it by knowing the whole Bible. Amen. Get to know. It's all over. It's not just one little you know, sound bite, little bullet point here and there. It's just so deep. You need to understand the depths of the written Word of God. Through the resurrection, the Scriptures teach you about being in Christ when He died. About you being in Him when He died. What? Wait, what? About you being in Him when He was buried. About you being in Him when He was risen from the dead.
Amen.
That you were risen from the dead with Him if you are in Christ by faith. If you put your trust in Christ. And that's affirmed by water baptism. The Scripture talks about through water baptism, we recognize that we have died with Christ, we've been buried with Christ, and we come up in newness of life with Christ. And two people in this room did that last week. And I want Kiana Keaton and Kennedy Lansing to come forward, and I want to give you some certificates. So come on up. What a more appropriate Sunday to give water baptism certificates than on Resurrection Sunday. So way to go, guys. Way to go. Did you see him there? We put their names up there in photos. I want you guys to just congratulate them before you go and get to know them. And this is the body of Christ. This is the family of Christ. They chose to honor God before heaven and earth and say, I am serious about Jesus. I want to give Him lordship of my life. And so, way to go, guys.
Amen.
So, Jesus didn't suffer and die so that we could just know enough to get to heaven.
Yeah.
So we could know enough to get forgiven and then go our own way. He wants you to know Him and relate to Him daily, on a daily basis, in everything, in all your financial decisions, all your career decisions, all your relationship decisions, how you're spending your time, just in every way, how you're sharing your talents and gifts that God gave you. In fact, 2020 was a joy, peace, and hope thief. I feel like we all got sucker punched by 2020, and I believe God gave me a verse. Normally, I feel like God gives me a verse at the beginning of the year. Last year, I just didn't feel like he didn't open my eyes to anything and didn't have a memory verse for the River Church to memorize and hide in our hearts. But I feel like this year, I know it's already April, but He gave me a verse, and it is, I want you to memorize this. I want you to hide it in your heart. I want you to recall it throughout this year, 2021, because I think it is given by God to replenish what was stolen from last year. And it's Romans 15:13, right here. And I want you to, let's say it together as a congregation. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. I just think that's one to hold on to. Because I feel like our hope and our peace and our joy just took a punch. And yet, God is still God. He is alive. He is alive forevermore. And He knew what was coming. He's never surprised by anything. And He has grace and health and healing for us. And so, I know it sounds challenging, and it is, to really get to know the Scriptures. But that's why He said you need to ask for and receive the Holy Spirit to guide you. You need to invite the Holy Spirit to help you study the Scripture. Get a plan. Make it a daily habit. And we'll be glad to pray for you. We'll be up here. People will be here to pray for you to receive the Holy Spirit. It's so important because you can't do it on your own. It's just, if it's only you trying hard, it's just you trying hard. But God wants to come in you and help you and open your eyes. It said Jesus opened their minds, opened their understanding to the Scripture. And then, so back to my wife in South Dakota. She is... Another story happened while she was there. And And so they're sitting in the breakfast table, and so this is my wife, her brother, and her brother's wife, and their son, and the dog. They have a dog named Arlo. And so Colin's son, Miles, is getting ready to go to school, and he heads off. He's walking out of the garage, and the dog follows after him to get in his car, and anyway, not the dog, but just him, and drive to school into town, and it could have been 30 seconds after he left the house, went out of the house, that his mother, Mary Beth, said, "Oh, Miles forgot something," and she picked up whatever it was, and she, shortly after he left, walks out, and then you hear this blood-curdling, oh, and they were sure. It was like that. Was that pretty close? Pretty close. Joan looks at her brother. They look at each other, and they are certain their son just ran over the dog. I mean, it was that fast, and him pulling out of the driveway. And my wife said she immediately felt kind of lightheaded, sick, just like sick to her stomach. Colin gets up, and he's got that look on his face, and she's wailing in the garage, wailing. And as he's walking to the door flies open, and in hops the dog, and here comes Mary Beth right behind the dog saying, "Oh, it's so cold outside." She was in her pajamas and barefoot, and she went outside when it was like the 19 or, 15 degrees last week. Joan and Colin thought something that wasn't what they thought. And life will look like something it's not a lot. You will have things come in your life that look really bad, and you are certain you know exactly what's going on. And I want to tell you, the message of the resurrection is God is good, even when it looks like He's not.
Yeah. Amen.
When you embrace this truth by faith, the result for you will be the same as it was for the first century disciples. It says, Jesus blessed them, and He ascended into heaven, and in verse 52 of Luke 24 says, after worshiping Him, they returned to Jerusalem with great joy. Say, great joy.
Great joy.
And were continually in the temple. They continually were connected in the family of the church, the like-minded believers. They were not just partially connected. They were firmly, continually connected in the temple, in the church family, praising God. And look where joy is found, right in the middle. If you want joy, it's found right in the middle of worshiping Jesus and being continually connected to the body of Christ, praising God. That's where you'll find good news of great joy all the time. So I just want to, I'll conclude with this thought that I want you to hold on to. So Good Friday, we saw again and reminded how Peter denied Jesus three times. That he denied knowing Him, and the three different ways is significant in my mind of how he denied Jesus. First, he says, "I don't know or understand what you're talking about." The second, he denied being one of them. "Hey, you're one of them." He just, "I am not." He denied being one of them. What's he referring to? One of the followers of Jesus, one of the body of Christ. And the third says, he said, "Again, you're a Galilean. You must be with them." He says, "I don't know the man. I don't know the man. I don't understand. I am not one of them, and I don't even know who Jesus is." And of course, he was lying. We know he's lying out of fear of man. He was just afraid of the consequences that would come to him because he's seeing what's coming to Jesus. But to be strong in the Lord, to be strong in what I'm talking about here, just do the opposite. Do the opposite three things that Peter said. Get to know and understand the Scriptures.
Yeah.
Just get to know and learn. Join a small group. Get in a small group. join in with others, connect with like-minded, and learn and study the written word of God. The second is commit to being one of them. Yeah. Be one of those followers of Christ. Get connected in the family, the body of Christ. Don't just come on here and there. Commit to getting in relational health with other like-minded people. Connect regularly, and then get to know the man, Christ Jesus. Amen. Get to know Jesus. Talk to him, which is called prayer. Listen to him. Study him in the scriptures, specifically him, the King of Kings, the lover of your souls, the Savior, the Lord of glory. Talk to him and then do what he says. When you see what you're reading and what you're learning, do it. Put it into practice. Yeah. Don't just know it, do it. And you'll see it's alive, it's real. And the result for you will be great joy and lots of reasons to praise God. Amen. Let's stand up and close in prayer. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Just got to say it once more. Say, we've been redeemed. Yes, by the blood of the Lamb. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, can we just give one more? Thank you, Lord. So our sins have been paid in full. No contingencies. No loose ends. It is finished. He is risen. So thank you, Lord, that you paid it all. You paid it all. Not most of it. There's no partial payments coming. You paid it in full out of love for us. Lord, you loved us while we were sinners. You didn't wait for us to get all cleaned up and get all forgiven or all discipled and all that. But you, while we were sinners, you gave your life for us. And Lord, while we were living for ourselves and suffering the consequences, you loved us and gave your life for us. Because you saw beyond our sin, you saw beyond our rebellion, and you purchased us. You paid a high price with your blood. And Lord, we choose to thank you and to live for you, to thank you by giving you our lives. We thank you, Lord. And I just want to say, raise your hand to the Lord, whether it's the first time or where you want to renew your devotion, your decision to follow Christ. You just raise your hands to the Lord. Say, you are Savior and Lord. Thank you, God. Now say this, thank you, Lord,
thank you, Lord,
for what you've done for me.
And
I choose to give you my life.
Help me in my doubt and
unbelief. Especially when it looks like a Saturday. Thank you for dying for me.
Thank you for being alive
for me.
I'm going to live for you.
Lord, have your way in my life. I pray in Jesus' name. And everyone said,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord.